Hey, how you doing? It's Pastor Jay. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. I pray that this word blesses your spirit, empowers you wherever you are, whether it be your home, your workplace, the gym, or even if you're riding in the car. Look, let's advance the kingdom by spreading this word with whoever you come in contact with. That is my ultimate goal, is to spread the kingdom and the message of Jesus Christ. I love you, and once again, here's today's message. Be blessed. Aren't you glad that we serve a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, a light in this dark time that we are in? We have a beautiful God, a beautiful King who is always going to make a way for us, who's always going to work a miracle for us, who's always going to be light in dark places. And it's always important to stay connected to God. And so I want to say happy Sunday again to you. Happy second Sunday here at MBCC. And we are so thankful that you joined us today on our live stream, and I pray that something will be said that will help cause transformation in your life, because that's what we're about here. We're about teaching truth so that your life can be transformed forevermore. And so with that being said, how many of y'all were really connected, pun intended, to the word last week on connection, on the functions of a healthy church, connection? And so we're going to continue along in this series, The Functions of a Healthy Church. Siri think I'm talking to her, but I'm not talking to Siri. But we're going to continue along with The Functions of a Healthy Church. And last week we talked about connection. And really, this series is going to build on one another. So make sure that you pay attention, you know, throughout the weeks, because connection is going to build to what we're going to talk about today, which is community. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. And we did talk about this scripture last week. And we're probably, to be honest with you, we're going to really dive into the word and really break it down piece by piece. We're going to rightly divide the word of truth, so that we won't be ashamed by it. So we're gonna make sure that we really get into the word and get into what this word is talking about. And so if you would, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. And when you get there, I want you to type in the search bar, not in the search bar, don't get out of the live stream. I want you to type in the comment section, community. I want you to type in the comment section, community. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, I'm going to read it from two translations. I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation, and I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation as well. And this is what the Passion Translation says. It says, "This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other." Did you hear that? We need each other. "In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning." That day dawning. The scripture says we need each other. I need you, you need me. So in community, we need one another. And so we all need one another. And so this is what it says in the New Living Translation. It says this. It says, "And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." Hey, look, nobody knows the day when Jesus is going to crack this guy open and come back again. Nobody knows that day. And so what is this scripture saying? The scripture is saying that now is not the time to run from church. Now is not the time to run from connection, to run from community. Now is the time to run to church, run to connection, run to community, because we need to be able to encourage each other as the day is drawing near. Let's look from God in prayer. God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you for who you are. I pray that you move Lester Bell Jr. out of the way and that you allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me like never before. So God, I love you. I thank you. I honor you. I thank you for each and every person who is watching this live, who will watch this in the days to come, in the months to come, in the years to come, in the decades to come. We thank you, God. We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Type community in the search bar. So last week, we talked about connection, and we talked about connection, and we talked about three things that we needed to be connected to when it came to church. We needed to be connected to, one, God's presence. We needed to be connected to, two, God's power. And we also needed to be connected to, three, God's people. And so if you really saw how we did that last week, how Holy Spirit did that, you will see that connection leads to community. Connection will always lead to community. Therefore, community is a function of a healthy church. See, we just don't come to church just to have meetings and just to have fun and just to come and be a whole fashion show. We come for community. And so we need community. And so God created us, listen to this, God did not create us to do life alone. God did not create you. God did not create me. God did not create we to do life alone. God created us to do life together. And that's what it is about. It is about us doing life together. And so, as a matter of truth, God stated that it wasn't good for man to be alone. He stated that it wasn't good for man to be alone. This is what it says in Genesis chapter 2. Verses 18 through 22. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says this, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone.'" This is what God's saying. Now, up until this point, everything God made, he said it was good and it was very good. Let there be light. He saw that the light was good and he saw that it was very good. But he created man and he said that it is not good for man to be alone. "I will make a helper, I'm making up words here, I will make a helper who is just right for him. So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them, and the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals, but still there was no helper just for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man." And so in this account right here, we see that God brought the animals to Adam. He brought the livestock to Adam. You know, he made the fish surface so he could name the fish. You know, he brought all of these things to Adam, but none of those things could fulfill Adam the way God wanted Adam to be fulfilled, because when God made Adam, he made him a relational being. And so that's why God was able to come down and commune with Adam in the cool of the day, because he made Adam a relational being. He made you a relational being. I know we've always heard that all I need is Jesus, all I need is God. As long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. That's not true. That's not true. Because if all you needed was King Jesus, then you would be here on the earth by yourself. And so God made us relational beings. God created us to do life together. And that's the point of church, for us to do life together. Community, we come and experience community to do life together. So God created us to be relational beings. God not only wants us to relate to him, but he wants us to relate to one another. God does not only want you to relate to him, he wants you to relate to one another. And so sometimes, hear me, sometimes I believe, I'm so excited for this because I'm ready to get to the points. But sometimes I believe we have gotten away from the true essence of church. And what is the true essence of church? The true essence of church is community, for us to do life together. And so the true essence of the church is to lead people through their spiritual growth, because everyone, listen, everyone is at different spiritual stages in their spiritual growth. Everyone is at different stages. And so it's not up for me to say, well, you at the wrong stage, or you at the wrong stage, or you at the wrong stage, or they at the wrong stage, this person at the right stage. That's not up for us to say. What it is up for us to say is for us to encourage one another. And encouragement happens in community. Because when you are in community, then you are really held accountable. And so just as babies need the right environment to grow physically, people need the right environment to grow spiritually. Just as babies need the right, they need the right environment to grow physically, you need the right environment to grow spiritually. And how do you grow spiritually? See, I believe, before I get to that question, I believe a lot of people just come to church and they hadn't really grown spiritually because they hadn't done life with people. They hadn't done life in community. They hadn't done life together. And so they are at this spiritual plateau, and they're wanting to go higher and deeper into the things of God, but they hadn't gotten a revelation of doing life together, doing life in community. See, it's not about you just living your life by yourself and for you to do everything by yourself and for you to be self-made. See, that's a prideful mentality. And so when you get in community, then that prideful mentality starts to break down, because you start to see that it's not about me doing life by myself. It's about me doing life with others. So listen to this. When we grow together, we grow stronger. When we grow together, we grow stronger. I know that I talked about this last month, and I was talking about how there's a difference between a travel agent and a tour guide. There's a difference between a travel agent and a tour guide. Coming up on the screen, you're going to see a travel agent. A travel agent helps you plan the trip. But a tour guide, you're going to see some pictures. Me and Lady Pilar went to Costa Rica last year. And forgive me, Lady Pilar, for putting these pictures up. But I got to put these pictures up so people can see the difference between a travel agent and a tour guide. So in this picture, you see this tour guide guiding us on this trip. This tour guide is guiding us. You see the tour guide at the back. You see me and Lady Pilar and a bunch of other strangers. We don't know who those people were. I think they were from Costa Rica. We don't know. But you see the tour guide at the back of the boat. Now, a travel agent, a tour guide, goes along on the trip with you. A travel agent doesn't go along on the trip with you. So what am I saying? What are you saying, Pastor Jay? I'm saying that we have to do life together. We have to be tour guides instead of travel agents. Because when we are tour guides instead of travel agents, then we do life together. See that tour guide? He did the whitewater rafting with us. He let us know which ones were dangerous. He flipped us off the boat. He showed us things that we would have never seen with a travel agent. And so when we grow together, we grow stronger. So community is important because trying to grow in the things of God alone is extremely dangerous. Community is important because trying to grow in the things of God is extremely dangerous. It's extremely dangerous for you to try to grow in the things of God on your own. Because what happens is when you try to grow in the things of God on your own without community, you tend to eisegete the scriptures. What is eisegete, Pastor Jay? Eisegete is this. When you eisegete the scriptures, you go in and you look at the scripture with a made-up mind of what you want the scripture to say. See, a lot of people in church today are eisegeting the scriptures instead of being in community to understand and fully understand the context and the hermeneutical context of the scripture. And so it's important for you to grow in community, because when you grow in community, then you take the focus off of eisegeting the scriptures. And so listen to me. I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit cannot give you illumination in the Word of God. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that if you are connected to a local church, your first step towards, if you're not connected to a local church, your first step towards spiritual growth is getting connected to a local church. Because you can grow some, but you can grow more when you are in community. And so when we grow in community, it holds us accountable and it helps keep our ego in check. See, a lot of times, If you are not growing in community, your ego often has a way of edging God out. What is edging God out, Pastor Jay? Edging God out is this. It's saying my ego is more important than God's word. My ego is more important than people's feelings. My ego is more important than life itself. And a lot of times when ego grabs hold of us, that's really pride having hold of us. And so it's important for you, you're going to hear me say this, it's important for you to get connected to a local church. It's important for you. And so, listen to this, I just want to make this clear, if MBCC is the house for you to get connected to, don't wait. Don't make it a habit of neglecting of meeting together. Don't make it a habit of not joining these live streams. Don't make it a habit. How many of you enjoyed after message last week, by the way, a way for us to connect, engage, and pray? We're going to do that again after this live stream service. But if MBCC is a house for you to get connected to our community. If you've been blessed by the words that have been going forth by not only me, but the ministers of the house and the praise and worship, if you've been blessed by that, don't wait to get connected. Get connected to the community. Get connected. And so here are the three reasons why community is important for a healthy church to function. Here are the three reasons why it's important why community is important for a healthy church to function. Number one is this. Community is for connection. Community is for connection. And I know you heard me talk about connection last week. We come to the house of God to not for a fashion show, not to judge others, not to make fun of other people, not to just come to mark off our to-do list for the week. All right, went to church, check. That's not the reason why we come to church. We come to church to be connected to God's manifest presence, number one. We come to church to be connected to God's power, number two. And number three, we come to be connected to God's people. And so community is for connection. So connect, listen to this. This is really good. When the Holy Spirit gave me this, you probably be like, that's so simple. But when the Holy Spirit gave me this, it just really kind of blew my mind. Connection takes unity, and there is unity in community. Connection takes unity, and there is unity in community. So let's go to Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And this is what it says. It says, all the believers were one in mind and heart. Selfishness was not a part of their community, for they shared everything they had with one another. I'm reading from the Passion Translation, by the way. You can see that below. But all the believers were one in mind and heart. So all the believers were connected because they were connected in mind and they were connected in heart. And when they were connected in mind and heart, then there was no selfishness between them because they were all connected. See, oftentimes in church, I've seen it happen before, that the people are not of one mind, of one heart. And so there are selfish motives that come up of, I want to be greater than you, and I want to be greater than you, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to be this title, and I want to be that title. Look, the titles are great. They're great. the functions, they're great. But if that's what you want to come to church for, I think you are missing the point of church. And so when we come and we are of one mind and one heart, then we will see that our connection will allow us to have unity in our community. See, in this Acts church, which I believe God is calling us back to the, back to be the Acts church, the people showed that they were one in mind and one in heart. So there was no quarrels between them. There was one in mind and one in heart. So when we get on one accord in our mind and our heart as a community, there will be nothing we cannot do. I'm going to say that again. When we get on one accord in our mind and heart as a community, there will be nothing we cannot do. I know you often hear me talk about raindrops and tsunamis. And I'm going to put that on the screen right now. I'm going to show you a raindrop and how much power a raindrop has. Now I want you to see how much power this tsunami has. You see it moving cars. You see it moving things. You see it moving whatever is in its way. When the community is on one accord, it's not the raindrop. It's more of the tsunami. And when we are more of the tsunami, we're not being destructive, but we're moving things. We're moving obstacles out of our way. An African proverb says this: if you want to go fast, go alone. So if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. And a lot of us, we always want to go fast. And what happens when we go fast, we expend our energy and then we burn out. And then we wonder why we're not really achieving the things that God has for us, because we've expended our energy. See, God did not call us in church, in community, to do things just, I got my own goal, I got my own vision. He called us to advance the kingdom of God. And so when we get on one accord and when we are focused and when we work together as a community, we can advance the kingdom of God. And that's what we're here for. We're here to advance the kingdom of God. We're not here to advance our own agenda. We are here to advance the kingdom of God. And so that's why it's important for us to go together in community, because when we go together in community, then we go far. So you see how the tsunami is able to go far? Because it's going together. And so God is calling the church back to going together, back to community, back to connection. Because when we get back to the basics of doing things in community and connected to one another, in one mind, on one accord, of one heart, then we'll see things change. And so one of our goals here at MBCC is to go further than we have ever imagined. But in order for us to do that, guess what? We need you. Because you have a gift that you're supposed to sow into the body of God. You have a gift, you have a purpose that you're supposed to sow into the body of God so that we can go further than we've ever gone before. And so if you're watching this and you're not connected to a local church, I want to invite you to get connected to our community here at MBCC. Because when you get connected to community, then your purpose is realized. And when your purpose is realized, guess what happens? You are fulfilled, and you're fulfilled in the will of God. God wants you to be fulfilled in his will. And how are we fulfilled in his will? By connecting with community. And so I believe our perspective has to change from jealousy to true community. Our perspective has to change from jealousy to community. See, sometimes in community, you see that there's almost like a crab in a barrel mentality. Like, if you make it, I'm going to pull you down so I can climb on you to make it. But in community, in true community, when one wins, guess what? We all win. That's what it's about. It's about us all winning together in community. And so selfishness cannot be a part of our community. If we're going to advance the kingdom of God, selfishness cannot be a part of our community. Because when selfishness is a part of our community, guess what happens? We become divided. And a house divided against itself, it cannot stand, because guess what? It's not connected. It's not connected in community. So if a house is divided, guess what? If a kingdom is divided, it's going to fall. It's not going to stand because it's not connected in community. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 24 through 26. It says this, but some of our body parts don't require as much attention. Instead, God has mingled the body parts together, giving greater honor to the lesser members who lacked it. He has done this intentionally so that every member would look after the others with mutual concern, and so that there will be no division in the body. In that way, whatever happens to one member happens to all. If one suffers, everyone suffers. If one is honored, everyone rejoices. And so when you have a body ache, your whole body suffers. But when your body feels good, then you're able to have movement. You're able to have rhythm and flow. You're able to move in alignment and move in the things that God has for you. And so, listen, when we understand the intentionality God used to form our bodies, we will start to treat people in our community better. When you understand the intentionality God created just in your physical body, you see how your fingers are connected to your hands connected to your arms connected to your rotator cuff connected to your collarbone, your neck is connected to your head, is connected to your neck, then you will understand the intentionality God. See, God uses, he uses the intentionality to show the intentionality of why he wants community to flow in connection with one another. And so community is important. And so I said this earlier, people are all on their own spiritual journey within the church. So it is up to us to treat everyone with honor and respect. And so listen. So this chair I'm sitting in, I said this last week, this chair is connected, and this chair is not in competition with the other pieces because it knows its purpose and it is focused on the common good of the whole. See, this leg is not saying, man, I wish I was a cushion, or this cushion is not saying, man, I wish I was a back. It's in connection with one another. And so when community is connected to one another and we're not in competition with one another, then we are focused on the common good of the whole. But when we are in competition with one another, when we're always complaining, when we're always finding fault with other people, and we're in competition and we got this selfishness mindset and we have this own, I gotta fulfill my own agenda, then we miss out on being truly connected in community. And so in community, God wants us to look out for the common good of the whole. In community, God wants us to look out for the common good of the whole. So it's not about your selfish agenda. It's not about what you think it should be. It's about the common good for the whole. And that's what community is about. Community is about common good for the whole, from the youngest on up to the oldest. No one is excluded, because no one is excluded in the kingdom of God. And so if no one is excluded in the kingdom of God, we should not exclude people in the community when it comes to church. And so go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. And I'm reading from the Passion Translation. Can you tell I like the Passion Translation? So this is what it says. It says, I urge you, my brothers and sisters, for the sake of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to agree to live in unity with one another and put to rest any division that attempts to tear you apart. Be restored as one united body, living in perfect harmony. Form a consistent choreography among yourselves, having a common perspective with shared values. So what is this saying, Pastor Jay? This is saying this: God blesses unity. At the end of the day, God blesses unity. Because when there is unity in community, God will bless it. That is why, see, this is why we need you, because you have a specific God-given gift that should be added to the community. See, you're not insignificant when it comes to this thing we call church. You're not insignificant. You are significant. You're not just ordinary. You are extraordinary. You're not just somebody. You're not just nobody. Then you're somebody. And so, listen, we're going to talk about clarity in the upcoming weeks because you have a gift that needs to be sown into the body of God. You are significant. If no one has told you that today, you are significant because God has placed within you a unique piece of himself that needs to come out into this community, that needs to come out into this world. And so when you bring out that unique piece of himself that he placed within you, then you will see how significant you are. See, like I said last week, you are a solution to a problem. You are a solution to a problem. I know you probably never heard that before, but you are a solution to a problem. You are a purpose to a pain. You are a purpose to a pain because what you go through is just not for you, but you are here on purpose for a purpose. And so this is what it says in Psalm chapter 133, verses 1 through 3. It says this. It says, "How truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. It's as precious as the sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest Aaron, dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes." Verse 3, "This heavenly harmony can be compared to the dew dripping down from the skies upon Mount Hermon, refreshing the mountain slopes of Israel. For from this rim of sweet harmony, God will release his external blessing, the promise of life together." Wow, doesn't that illuminate what it looks like to be in unity, in community? Doesn't that illuminate just the imagery that David used, that King David used in that, just the different words and the imagery that he used, the poetry that he used. That's what it looks like to be in a community. So it's good for us to dwell together. So number one reason why community is a healthy function of the church is community is for connection. Number two, community is for affection. Number one, community is for connection. Number two, community is for affection. See, in community, we have to drop our judgments about others' lives. We have to drop our judgments about other lives. See, one of the main reasons why people stop coming to church is because they feel they will be judged by the people in the church. And for all of those people who judge in the church, I want you to go back to church rules week one. Thou shalt cast the first stone only if. And I want you to just review that. It's in the podcast. It's on YouTube. I want you to go back and review that. All those judgmental holier-than-thou saints that are still in the church today. Because we have to move past that. See, religion has taught us to judge people and to hold people higher than people, other people. But at the foot of the cross, we're all equal. At the foot of the cross, we're all equal. And so, hear me. I empathize with people who feel that way because I too, even though I'm Pastor Jay, I too have been judged by people in the church. And it's not a good feeling. So I know how you feel. And so, look, I want to take this opportunity to just apologize to those of you who have been judged when you came into church, judged because of what you wear, judged because of what you look like, judged because of the choices you made, judged because of you've asked a question and it's been shot down because you may have looked like a challenger to a person. I want to apologize, and I want you to know, if you never hear another apology from another pastor, I want you to hear this apology from me, that I truly apologize that you had to go through that judgment, because that's not what community is. Community is not a place for you to be judged. Now, community is a place for you to be held accountable, But you can be held accountable and not judged. And so it's up to us to really love people, because when you come to church, what people are really looking for is hope. What you're really looking for is true, genuine love. And I want MBCC to be the church that really gives true, genuine love. I believe we are the church. I mean, I'm biased, of course, but I really believe that we are a church that gives true, genuine love. Because it's not about judging your neighbor. It's about loving your neighbor. And so this is what it says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 40. This is what it says. It says this. It says, Jesus answered him, love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that is within you. This is the great and supreme commandment. And the second is like it in importance. Excuse me. You must love your friend in the same way you love yourself. So my question to you is, would you like to be judged or would you like to be loved? Because I remember there's a song, there's an old school song that says, love makes the world go around. It really does. Because God is love. God makes the world go around. So if God is love, then we should be loved to those that we want to be a part of our community. Because I guarantee you, when it is safe for us to come back to church, we're going to see a harvest of lives, because God is changing our posture from fishing on the wrong side of the boat to fishing on the right side of the boat, because he made his disciples fishers of men. And some of them were fishermen. They caught fish of the sea. But he made the disciples. He said, I'm going to teach you how to be fisher of men. And so I believe God is changing our posture. And that means a heart posture, not just a stance posture. That means a heart posture. He's changing our heart posture from judgment to love. Because you know that you want to be filled with love. And so why not be that one that fills others with love? And so God created us to truly love one another. And in community, we are to express that action, not only in word, but in actions. We're not only supposed to just say, I love you. And then when they get out the building, judge them and say all negative stuff about them and talk about their mama and what their mama shouldn't have done and how their mama shouldn't have put that on you and how you shouldn't have dripped. We got to get past that in church, yo. We got to get past that. So this is what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 through 9. It says this. It says, above all, constantly echo God's intense love for one another. For love will be a canopy over a multitude of sins. Be compassionate to foreigners without complaining. So that word foreigners there means strangers. So that means that people you're not used to being in a community. It's saying be compassionate to them without complaining. But I want to highlight verse 8. It says, constantly echo God's intense love for one another. For love will be a canopy over a multitude of sins. Your version may say, love covers a multitude of sins. But love covers. Judgment exposes, love covers. See, God wants us to cover one another. And here at MBCC, our mission is to love God, invest in others, value community, and echo that. Did you get the acronym there? Love God, invest in others, value community, and echo that. It's live. God wants us to live. So he wants us to love God, invest in others, value community, and echo that. This scripture leads me to my last and final point, which is this. So number one, community is for connection. Number two, community is for affection. Number three, community is for protection. Community is for protection. Hear me. There is often a stress of going through things on your own. There's often a stress of that. There's a stress, there's a pressure of, you know, I don't want to put my burdens on anybody else. You know, I want to handle this all on my own. But God never created you to handle burdens on your own. First, He made you a relational being. And so since he made you a relational being, then that means that he did not create you to handle burdens on your own. See, if you try to handle burdens on your own, what happens is that pressure builds up. And what happens is this is what that pressure does to you. It shakes you up, it fills you up. And if I was to open this right now, I'm not going to open this because it's going to go all over our carpet and I'll probably get in trouble. Yes, the pastor will probably get in trouble. But if I was to open this, it would explode. And that's what happens when you try to handle your burdens by yourself. God never called you to handle your burdens by yourself. God never called you to be shaken up. He never called you. He never called you to allow stress. Because if you could feel this bottle right now, there's a lot of tension in this bottle. There's a lot of pressure in this bottle. And with the when you handle burdens on your own for so long, you get shaken up. And then when you finally open up, then you explode on those closest to you. And you end up saying hurtful stuff and you end up making a mess. See, God never created you to handle burdens on your own. He created you to live in community, because when you live in community, then when a team is carrying the weight evenly, it's not as heavy on everybody because we are evenly distributing this weight. The same goes for community. When you go through things, you're not meant to go through them alone. See, there are people who've already been through what you've been through, and you can learn from their experience. One of the beautiful things about what Dad would always do, he would always let me know his experiences when it came to things, because when I knew his experiences, I knew that I wasn't in this by myself. I wasn't in this alone. And so when I knew the experiences and I was able to glean and grow from those experiences, then it made my path a little bit easier. And so the same goes for community. When we are in community and we share our experiences with one another, it makes the next person's path a whole lot easier. But when you don't share your experiences and somebody goes through that, then that makes it harder for that person. Now, all things work together for the good of them that love God, to those called according to his purpose and will. But when we share our experiences in community with one another, we protect them from going through major heartache like we did. And so that's why it's important for you to share your experiences in community. And so hear me when I say this. I used to be that type. I used to be the one to hold everything in. Don't tell nobody, because I can handle it by myself. And God had to test me on this. When Dad transitioned, God had to test me on this. I was trying to hold everything in and not trying to express how I felt. And shout out to Lady P, because she really helped me to understand that we're not meant to handle stuff on our own. We're meant to live life together. Because again, if you want to go fast, go alone, but if you want to go far, go together. So thanks, babe. Thanks, Lady P, for teaching me that, for showing me that we don't have to do life alone. We are meant to do life together. And so in community, we are here to hold one another accountable so we can become more like our Creator. See, God wants you to become more like Him. How do you become more like Him? You become more like Him in community because you are being held accountable. You're learning from experiences. And so that's how you become more like Him. You become more like Him in community. Because in community, we are to restore one another and protect one another. In community, we are to restore one another and protect one another. This is what it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. And we're almost to the end. It says this. It says, my beloved friends, if you see a believer who is overtaken with a fault, may the one who overflows with the Spirit seek to restore him. Win him over with gentle words. Don't win him over with harsh words or you should have did it. You should have did it. No, that's not how we win people over. We win people over with gentle words. And so it says, win him over with gentle words, which will open his heart to you and will keep you from exalting yourself over him. Wow, that's a mouthful right there, because a lot of times people in the church, people in community, they exalt themselves over people and they make themselves non-relatable to those people. And so they put themselves on this pedestal. And so I believe God is trying to get people off that pedestal to relate to one another. And so it says, win him over with gentle words, which will open his heart to you and will keep you from exalting yourself over him. Verse 2 says this. It says, love empowers us to fulfill the law of the anointed one as we carry each other's troubles. If you think you are too important to stoop down to help another, you are living in deception. So when you are not relatable in community, you are living in deception, because God never created you to live on an island while everybody else live on this other island of community. He created you to be He created you as a relational being to relate to the people he placed in your community. So when you stay in this island and you cannot relate to other people, then you are living in deception. And so when you are living in deception, then you're really living in pride when you're living in deception. So God wants us to live in community. So that's why God never called us to expose others and their faults. He never called us to expose, because judgment exposes, love covers. Judgment pulls off the sheets, love covers, love protects, love covers a multitude of sins. God called us to restore others when they are overtaken with fault. So my question to you is, are you restoring people, or are you exposing them? Are you covering them with love, or are you exposing them? Because if you are exposing them, then you are living in deception while you go to church. You are living in deception. And so this is what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, and I want to end on this. On this scripture. And this is what it says. It says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. Holy Spirit. So scripture says one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put tens of thousands to flight. So when you work together in community, then guess what? Then you just multiplied your You just multiply your functionality. Verse 10 says this, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. So that's saying right there, you're not supposed to grow spiritually alone. You're not supposed to grow spiritually alone, because when you fall, then you have no one to help you up. But when you grow spiritually in community and you fall, those who are spiritual can restore you. They can bring you back. They can pull you out of that ditch. And so verse 11 says this, again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? You can turn on the heater as high as you want it. But the scripture is saying, how can one be warm alone? So verse 12 says this, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. So what is that saying, Pastor Jay? That is saying this, when we work together in community, then we have another aspect that goes in with that community, because God blesses and honors community. And so when we are working together, then we are increasing our functionality. When we are working together as one, there's nothing we can't do. And so, listen, let's do life together, because when we do life together, we'll go further than we've ever imagined. And so I want to leave you with this last point, and it's this. Community is important because it is for connection, affection, and protection.